General purpose computers have changed every facet of life as we know it, in what has been called a third revolution of civilization, from desktop PCs to the smartphone to microcontrollers, and occasionally full computing systems, and cars, and even light bulbs. The history of the this is quite an interesting subject. Early general purpose programmable computers were generally mechanical, credited with being the first Turing complete design. Charles Babbage's analytical engine was able to have conditional branching, loops, etc., and run arbitrary software. Unfortunately, it was so complex that Charles Babbage died before completing it. Ada Lovelace, known as one of the first computer programmers, worked on the machine with Charles Babbage and published the first algorithm known to be carried out upon such a machine. She was probably the first person to recognize the capability of such a machine to do more than just computing numbers, such as streaming videos, etc., etc., etc. In 1890, computing systems began to be used by the U.S. government, when in order to calculate the 1880 census, they used a design by Hermann Hollerith, who went on to establish Hollerith's Computing Tabulating Recording Company, which went on to become the very important company known as IBM. A surprising amount of modern computing was invented by this company, and to this day, the U.S. still uses their computers to calculate tax returns. The tabulating system used a punch card system for data, although not being the first to do so, and although the punch card systems are no longer used today, they were used in future computers for many, many years. In 1904, the first commercial diode vacuum tube was made, making modern electronic computers rather than just mechanical ones possible. In 1926, the first semiconductor was invented. But it wasn't very practical until 1947 when Bell Labs' William Shockley patented the modern solid-state, you know, actually reliable transistor. Transistors and vacuum tubes gave a very important capability to computers. The ability to use electrical signals to turn other electronic signals on and off. These things can be combined in crazily possible combinations to do practically any information processing one wants. Basically, a Turing-complete computer. In 1936, Alan Turing described the foundation of modern computing. Turing machines was able to use rules to calculate things. It's a bit hard to explain, but basically, being Turing complete means that a Turing machine has the rules to simulate, you know, another Turing machine, even if it is very slow and, well, barring memory constraints. Almost every computer and programming language is Turing complete. In 1937, a significant development happened: the Atanasoff-Berry computer, ABC. Called the first electronic digital computer by https://people.bu.edu/bods/brief%20computer%20history.html and the first automatic electronic digital computer by someone on Wikipedia. It was built by Dr. John V. Atanasoff and Clifford Berry. Who would have guessed those names? It was designed to solve systems of linear equations. Unfortunately, it was neither programmable nor Turing complete, so it doesn't apply as a general purpose computer as this topic is about, but what it did do was pioneer several important elements of modern computing, which definitely do apply to general purpose computers. Including electronic switching components and binary arithmetic. I forgot to mention this, but some early computers typically used decimal to calculate things. You know, number system, it goes from 1 to 10, then 11, then 21, etc. Decimal has 10 digits, while binary has 2. So it goes like 1, 10, 11, 100, 101, 110, 111, 1000, etc. And this was found to work much better with the two states that digital computers have, and it results in much simpler calculation. And it was found that it, simple to convert the two states at the beginning and end rather than work entirely in it. And this is why computers, modernly, generally use binary. Between 1938 and 1941, Dr. Seuss's Z3 computer was designed and built. According to Wikipedia, who got it from the New York Times, this line, it was the first automatic, program-controlled, fully functional, general-purpose digital computer. Although it was demonstrated to be theoretically Turing complete in 1998 by Raul Rojas, it was not quite practically complete due to no conditional branch instruction. Nevertheless, it helped pioneer some very important principles of modern computing, such as the ability to use floating point numbers as well as being another of the first computers to use binary instead of decimal. This time, however, actually able to be reprogrammed. 1943 to 1945, the ENIAC computer was built by the U.S. Army to calculate weapons trajectories. Many computers around this time were created for military purposes. It has been called the first electronic general-purpose computer by Wikipedia. Again. You know, I feel like there's a bit of a trend here. The Atomic Soft Berry computer and the C3 have been described as basically the same thing. In fact, Wikipedia does this pretty much every single one of these really early computers. I guess Wikipedia's pretty bad at describing modern computers, and I guess it's pretty hard to tell which computer is the first in general, since, you know, these were all from other sources which said those, you know, contradictory things. According to my notes, I should be talking about the first transistor made in 1947. It appears that this came from a Live Science article. As I mentioned earlier, however, the first was actually in 1926. It just wasn't that practical. Clearly, with all the deferring first, some of these sources aren't too reliable in this aspect. This is why multiple sources should always be used. They are very important. These weird, subjective things make it very hard to write about this without being fairly rigorous. And even professional college-educated sources can make make mistakes like this. To be fair, this source does have a degree in communications, of all things, which isn't exactly computer engineering, but even then, I have no degree at all, and I was able to catch this, so you should be able to, too, you communications degree person. Remember, multiple sources for the same things. Otherwise, the statement won't be too solid, no matter how trustworthy the source seems. In 1947 to 1949, EDSAC started existing, described as the second electronic digital stored program computer to go into regular service. Although it should be obvious by now, claims of original nature are pretty dubious with regards to computers. A significant development with this computer, however, was one of the first video games, OXO, an adaptation of Tic-Tac-Toe, which appeared in 1952. As far as I know, it's the first one of all. But again, ordinal numbers in computers. Pretty unreliable. In 1953, the first programming language, COBOL, was made. In 1954, Fortran, another programming language, was also made. Programming languages like these allow one to tell computer to do things in, well, a language which is not assembly or even raw machine code. And it allows it to be portable across different architectures like x86, which is what Intel uses, and RISC-V, which others can use on ARM, that's another one. In 1956, an amazing invention was revealed by Jack Kilby and Robert Noyce, who, by the way, Robert Noyce went on to found Intel. Anyway, this invention was the integrated circuit. Truly, this is a very important innovation, and I cannot overstate its importance. It allowed for tinier and tinier computers for years to come by implementing transistors more and more, but... by implementing transistors and more, you know, vacuum tube sensors, etc., but in a tiny and a single chip. In the mid to late 1960s, Augmentation Research Center, ARC, from DARPA, who were the first, who were very important in making many technological developments, such as the internet and GPS. This ARC developed many precursors to WIMP, you know, the keyboard and mouse and Windows things, GUIs, such as, well, the mouse. In 1970 to 1971, DRAM and the floppy disk were developed by IBM, and in 1973, Ethernet by Xerox PARC, who also helped make, like, the modern GUI. I believe they were the guys that inspired Apple. In 1972, Xerox PARC's Alto was the first PC to be called, well, a PC, which, by the way, is short for personal computer. Many amazing hardware innovations used to this day were made at this time. Everything I have typed on, as well as my recording device, for example, uses DRAM, and the PC I am writing and recording on this will upload this through Ethernet. It also, of course, has a mouse. They're used on a lot of computers. You can even use them on a lot of phones, actually. Or, data pads, as they would be called in the past, before they actually existed. Hardware innovations weren't all that happened at this time, though. In 1969, Unix was made. And in 1972 to 1973, my favorite programming language, C, was made. C is still very popular for programming fast binary applications. And Unix, well, in 1976, the Emacs and VI text editors were made. And, well, guess what I am type my script on. They answer Emacs on my GNU / Linux computer, and, well, GNU / Linux is an operating system based on Unix. So, yeah, this was, like, some of the first software that's actually, like, still in use today in 2019. Pretty awesome. That's, like, what, 40 years? Pretty good. More than 40 years, actually. Anyway, in 1975, something even crazier happened. The Altair 8800, another computer that was an early PC, or at least resembled it, was made. It really started to be a PC, however, when Microsoft wrote software for this that actually let it utilize a screen. Like, every computer utilizes a screen now, so I guess that's pretty important. Even, I'm sure there's embedded systems that a lot of people, when they think of a computer, they think of, you know, screen. In 1976, you have the Apple I, and other revolutionary development PCs with screen. 1977, the Apple II, nice integrated PC. Even this, though, pales in comparison to 1981 with the IBM PC. Like, that's so revolutionary. I cannot overstate the importance of the IBM PCs. Modern PCs basically evolved from the IBM compatibles, which were basically clones of the IBM PC. To be fair, lots of mobile ARM-based computing devices skip around it, you know, like phones and things. If you have a desktop PC or even a laptop, it's likely heavily influenced by this IBM PC. This is the thing that launched Microsoft and Intel to be the huge companies they are today, as it used an Intel chip in MS-DOS, the precursor to Microsoft Windows. This truly was the age of PCs, and at least semi-modern computing. Computers developed very fast after this, and I guess during this time. DARPA helped make the internet. The World Wide Web, a separate thing, by the way, was made during the 90s. The World Wide Web is the thing with links. The internet is the thing that physically connects the computers, including the ones that, you know, serve the World Wide Web. Linux was made in the 1990s. Computers got more and more powerful. There were crazy graphics with games. There are so many things involved with during this time, they could probably make an entire video essay, just as long as everything I've already said about it. Computers developed very, very quickly during this time. Today, things are slowing down in terms of Moore's Law, but there are still crazy developments like VR, quantum computing, ASICs, and my favorite instruction set, RISC-V. But unfortunately, I'm out of time for this reason, and I will explain all these things in either a sequel video, or maybe just complete rewrite of this one, because honestly, I don't think my script is perfect. I'm just kind of out of time. Anyway, have a nice day. Goodbye.